to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, I just think you do a phenomenal job. I mean, you really are really listening to what I'm saying, and you're really finding the connections and kind of weaving everything together to really have a more powerful message for your audience. And I'll be honest, you actually helped me learn about myself through this as well. So, no, it was a very powerful conversation with you. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Priscilla Vang owns a payroll vault franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is our sponsor for today's mentoring conversation. Priscilla discovered through helping clients find tax solutions that they need a payroll service they can count on. She has taken her client-focused skills, accountancy degree, and technology-driven software tools to help business owners redefine how they do payroll. This saves time and money. Priscilla is passionate and dedicated to building trust over the long term with small business owners. With Priscilla, providing you with the best payroll service possible is what directs her life. You can call 1-651-783-2501 or just click on the homepage button of wementor.com and you will see a button to directly connect you with Payroll Vault and Priscilla. So thank you, Payroll Vault and Priscilla, for sponsoring this podcast episode. Today's guest is Jan Lehman. She's an executive coach, productivity expert, and speaker. She works with clients all over the country. She's the founder and president of CTC Productivity. CTC is a Twin Cities-based, woman-owned and operated business. Their mission is to help individuals and businesses understand their organizational challenges and provide self-sustaining solutions that improve productivity and reduce stress. Don't we all need that? Jan was recently named a 2018 Women Who Lead Minnesota Business Magazine honoree. She was nominated by three of her coaching clients. Through her coaching, one of her client companies is now 30% more efficient and has significantly increased its employee engagement. So I'm really excited to talk with you and to really get some good information to our listeners about how to be more productive. It's really a, I know, it's really a challenge just to maintain productivity in a distracted world that we're in right now. Well, welcome to the program, so Jan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. How's your Monday been for you?
A little crazy, but that's all right. it's all good.
Yeah, that's good. Go ahead.
Even productivity consultants have crazy days.
Yes, exactly. The roots of some of your business acumen and people first attitude can be traced back to your formal education. So we'll also be talking about your education, the signs that you were showing growing up as an entrepreneurial leader, how you kind of evolved into a speaker, an executive coach, a productivity consultant, and, you know, through owning your own business. So I'm just wondering, how are you feeling right now in the moment now that we got connected on Skype?
Yeah, good. No, I'm ready to chat, Nancy. We're good.
Okay, terrific. So tell us a few details about your personal life. You know, like, how did you grow up and how big of a family and where are you from?
Yeah. So I grew up in central Illinois, in Bloomington, Illinois. And it's kind of funny. I went to college in Bloomington, Indiana. And so when I moved to Minnesota, I really wanted to live in Bloomington, Minnesota. But that didn't happen.
Okay.
I grew up in probably a typical middle-class family. My mom was a part-time realtor. My dad was an electrical engineer for the power company. three siblings. I was the baby, very spoiled, I'm sure. And but yeah, I had a very, very blessed childhood.
And of your extended family, who lives in Minnesota?
It's actually all my husband's family is here, so that's what brought us up here.
I see. So is the rest of your family in Bloomington, Indiana, or Illinois?
So my mom's in Bloomington, Illinois, and the rest of them are scattered. So Chicago, Philadelphia, and then Florida.
Okay.
So we actually like each other. It makes it sound like we're trying to get away from each other, but we're kind of scattered.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool.
I used to be in Oregon, which made that even more like we were really coast to coast. And we moved here about 5 years ago.
Okay. And you and I met at the Professional Sales Association when you delivered your presentation on controlling your inbox on April 6th. It was a phenomenal session that you gave because you really helped everybody effectively manage email. It was very interactive. And you had some very great time management methods and kind of how to create a culture of productivity, which I hadn't thought about it quite like that, that it is really a culture that you need to create as a business owner so people know the pace of the business.
Yeah, that's my ultimate goal, is not just to change individuals, but to change the entire culture, and that's how the one client was able to get to 30% efficiency for his entire company. He was a very strong leader, so I can have all the ideas in the world, but if you don't have a progressive leader that's willing to sort of, you know, hold the baton through change, because not everybody likes change, not much is going to happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get involved in, like, what were some of the things as a family that you did that really created some good memories for you? And if you looked back at the thread of kind of your life, were there some activities that you did in your youth that kind of have been held some consistency in your life since then or showed up?
Yeah, I would say it was funny kind of looking at your questions beforehand. I think I'm just always been a hard worker. And so I like lied and said I was 16 when I was really 14 and took a job early. And I think I've just always enjoyed working and sort of having a purpose. And this same today, I absolutely love what I do. And anyway, I think that's sort of a reoccurring theme. I laughed at some of your questions around sort of, you know, wealth and things like that. And I really started this business not necessarily to make $1 million, but to really do what I love. But I have been extremely happy with the profitability of the company. So it's been a good trend.
That's good. And how did you develop a profitability model that would work? Did you have some mentoring there? Or how did you know how to make sure that you were having a profit margin that you could really sustain your venture on and build from?
Let me see if I can answer differently. So it wasn't so much like the profit margin as much as, I guess, looking at the right way to structure the company and how to grow the company. So what's kind of ironic is pretty much everything I'm trying to do with my little business is really what I'm teaching my clients to do, right? So I'm teaching them to hire the right people that are naturally passionate about their role and naturally skilled to do the job. And, you know, and to leverage technology as much as you can. And so I sort of, I've built just a really, I think, profitable business because I've really brought in the right people that are super excited about their roles. And they are, like, I just feel like everybody's in their swim lane right now doing what they love and what they do best. And it's just really leading us toward profitability because it's just a really highly engaged company. I don't know if that answered your question, Nancy.
Yes,
but
yes, it did. So it sounds like you were following your own advice.
Yes. Yeah. And I certainly seek out advice from, you know, some of my informal board of directors for strategic ideas and things like that. But, I tend to listen to what my clients are talking about where there might be gaps and then realize there's a new sort of revenue opportunity for you, a new angle to our practice and things like that that we can grow. And so it's really just grown organically through listening to what the clients' needs are.
And your ability to see opportunities and how to capitalize on those opportunities to create and generate income that can work for you and the other people you employ.
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. Were you very conscientious of being productive when you were young?
Yeah. I think I always have. I have this funny memory of being in college and being in the sorority room with like three of my friends, and they were laughing at me because I was like doing two things at once. Yeah. And my friends, when I used to commute back, I lived in Chicago and I used to commute, I'd be in the car for like an hour and I would have like dental floss in the car so I could floss my teeth while I was driving, and my friends would make fun of me. Yeah. I think I just don't like waste. Mm. So wasted time, you know, and things like that really, yeah, it bothers me. So it's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah. And that is the theme then, the thread that kind of connects your childhood to your adult work life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about where you earned your business degree. If you you earned your business degree in operations and systems management and a minor in psychology from Indiana University, which you were alluding to earlier, at Kelly School of Business. Was that a natural fit, or how long did it take you to kind of come up with a major?
Yeah, it was a natural fit. So the way that Indiana does it, I don't know if it's the way the other universities do it, but they make you take sort of a broad brush on different, you know, like accounting and different things. And yeah, it just became very obvious the class that I would get A's in would all be around sort of process and productivity and that sort of thing. I always joke I never did well in accounting, and both my brother and sister are CPAs, and I always joke that all the debit and credit genes came out of my mom and dad before I came out, because finance has always been my weakest area. But anything with like logic, process, you know, again, eliminating waste, it's just a natural thing. So my major, it kind of carved out kind of naturally.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I think that's really a funny way to say it as well. By the time the CPA gene pool kind of
wasn't there
when it was your turn. So when did you start showing signs of kind of entrepreneurial leadership skills, where there's a certain way that you're looking at the world, trying to harness your organizational skills to see if you can kind of launch an independent business entity and develop a business model that will support it?
Well, so the first sort of when I read the question about sort of when did you start to see entrepreneurial aspects, I laughed because one of my brothers makes fun of me because my job I took when I was 14 was working at this ice cream, kind of a local ice cream place, and I worked there until I graduated college. And somewhere along the way, I proposed to the owner that I would like to be paid for the profits of the company versus an hourly rate. And so they,
based
they
on
anyway,
performance,
it was my first big business deal.
So, did they go for
so
it?
So I must have been a wheeler dealer back in high school or college, apparently. But really about being an entrepreneur, I worked in corporate America for many, many years before having children. And like many women, you know, I left to go and be home with my children, and then I was really ready to go back and do something. And I loved corporate America. I had fabulous, you know, mentors and bosses and all that good stuff. But it was just the right time for me to do something different, and I was super excited about starting my own business. So that was sort of how I came about starting my business.
So what year did you start CTC Productivity?
You know, I actually started Can the Clutter, which is a home organizing business that I still own. And from there, I knew that I would go back into working with businesses because that's what I had done for so many years before having children. But it was so easy to start a home organizing business because you're meeting a ton of moms when you have young kids. And so it evolved, and it was funny. One of my business clients at one point was like, Jan, you really have to rebrand because you provide so much more value than Can the Clutter indicates. Because of him, I rebranded to CTC Productivity, which, you know, originally started with Can the Clutter, an abbreviation, but now the CTC really stands for Circle the Customer. because we do provide home organizing and business organizing services. So we provide really a holistic approach to helping our clients reduce stress and be more efficient with their time.
Well, there's nothing like developing an acronym that you can use in more than one way.
Yeah. Right? It took us a year. We're trying to find, Can the Clutter is a great name.
Yeah, it is.
And it's trademarked and all that, but we couldn't find another name. And so, yeah, we went with the whole acronym. Nobody else has that one.
Okay. And so you started Can the Clutter. Did you transfer form the, did you start out as a sole proprietorship?
I did. Started as a sole proprietorship and then started bringing on some employees, got big enough where I needed to convert to an S-Corp. And so I'm an S-Corp now.
And how many employees was do you have working with you right now?
So I have 3 employees and about 5 subcontractors. At one point, I was still running my business in Oregon with employees there. So when I moved from Oregon here, I was still running it there where I built it up here. But I didn't have anybody to really help market and sell in Oregon, so that business just sort of faded out.
And there was no one that wanted to buy it from you?
Can the Clutter is still my brand. And so
you wanted to keep
we have
that.
A referral arrangement with another. Yeah. So we send business to another company there and they send us a referral fee.
Oh, I see. Great.
Yeah. So we wanted to keep the Can the Clutter, especially because I was moving. Anyway, I wanted to keep Can the Clutter alive and well as one of ours. And then when I moved here is when I rebranded to the new name. But we're still going through this kind of merging of the two companies. We'll be doing that this year.
Yeah, because being here in Minnesota 5 years is not that long. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been great, though.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been really getting the word out. How have you been marketing?
You know, my presentations are a big draw. I do presentations and then often get coaching clients from that or get brought in to do paid presentations for companies. I also am very blessed that one of my employees is a really good business development person. So she's actually the one out at all the networking meetings and making the connections. And once she sort of vets people, then I sit down with them. So it minimizes the amount of time that I have to be out, you know, doing networking and things like that.
Sure. What kinds of projects are you working on the most right now?
Oh, I have got some really interesting projects right now. I'm so glad you asked that. So one company is bringing me in because they're struggling with not just having everybody in the company manage emails, but also, you know, every company has, you know, retention policies for their documents. And email documents fall in, and electronic documents fall into that same area. And so I'm working with them to figure out how they can improve sort of their retention process for electronic documents, email documents, things like that.
Okay.
Nancy,
yep,
you still there?
I'm still there. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm just taking in what you're saying.
Okay, that's one. And then, did that make sense,
yeah, mm-hmm.
What I was saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it's an area where more and more companies need to be looking, but they're really not. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm starting with another client, my first group coaching program, where it's with a law firm, and I'm going to be doing a group coaching with 6 of the associates, which is going to be new and different, and I'm excited about that. On how to proceed. And then I'm also auditing two companies in their onboarding process because the tight job market, it's really important that companies have a really good onboarding process that not only gets the person up to speed from a productivity standpoint, but gets them engaged as soon as possible so they don't leave. And so that's where I've been spending a lot of focus this year as well.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a huge area. And there's a lot of companies who have a lot of turnover with employees. And so there's a lot of instability within the company when somebody leaves and how to, you know, so how do you manage that part of with the onboarding process? Tell us a little bit more about how that would work.
Well, so like I'm going right now, I'm interviewing some of the recent hires for companies and finding out, you know, what their issues and challenges are. And from that, really tracing it back to, you know, they didn't get the proper training when they came on board. And so we're setting up, you know, a better process for training. They didn't maybe have the right sort of mentor, and they didn't, you know, often companies won't assign mentors, and companies are trying to introduce a very diverse workforce. And people in different cultures aren't going to be quite as comfortable just walking down the hall and trying to find somebody to help them. And so, you know, in one situation, we're making sure for sure that there's a really strong mentoring program so people have somebody they can reach out to. I think another gap we see a lot is that often companies will have the IT group actually do the technical training. And that's not really all that the employees need. You know, the technical training is good to know what tools you have, but somebody really needs to explain the workflow from person to person. And, you know, IT typically doesn't do that. HR doesn't do that. So we're identifying it's a pretty big gap in a lot of companies.
That is excellent. You're very highly skilled in that area to feather out what opportunities are worth pursuing. Do you, how do you manage all the... Most entrepreneurs are very idea oriented, and so they get flooded with opportunities to in the marketplace that they see. How do you manage that, and how do you know which? How have you refined your process to know which ideas you really want to fully get your resources behind to pursue?
You know, that's a great question. I think I'm generally somewhat conservative in nature, so I think I might be better suited to not take on too much. But a lot of times I'll bounce ideas off the team and say, where do we think we're going to see the biggest, you know, the biggest bang for the buck? Or oftentimes it's going to be timeline driven. So, you know, sadly, deadlines drive a lot of our prioritization, which in some cases is not the right decision, right? But like I signed up for a kind of a training program of sorts that was going to be starting in October. And that sort of, I decided that needed to be priority because it starts in October versus I'm writing a book currently. And that was something that I could kind of push on the back burner a little bit because it doesn't have a deadline. And so it's a little bit, and that's kind of a dangerous thing for a lot of people. Most people that don't have deadlines on things don't get them done. We tend to do a pretty good job there. So we've made really good progress on the book, but it's okay for the book to kind of sit on hold for a little bit while this other thing take precedent.
Sure. Okay. Wow. That sounds, it just sounds like you're doing such a great job of kind of immersing yourself into the business climate here in Minnesota and really finding that there's lots of opportunities for organizational, for speaking, for the executive coaching and addressing all these productivity gaps in different industries.
I have great job security. there's need pretty much everywhere. My issue is just getting in front of the clients. Usually once I get in front of the clients, I'm there for a while working on different projects and things. But so that's why I think speaking helps because people don't really know what a productivity consultant does. So it's not like they're going to Google, I need a productivity consultant. And so as much as I can be out and about trying to explain what productivity consultants do, people then go, oh, yeah, we needed her about 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when I think of productivity, I think of the organizational pieces. So how is that different or the same? Or do people put you in that same category?
Well, a lot of it does come down to organization. So, you know, you do need to, you know, organize your day, right, to be a good time manager. You need to organize your to-do list, your priorities. So it really, organization is the foundation. But I would say process is another really big part of it. And really leveraging technology. So really automating processes is a big thing that we do. So we work with a lot of companies that, you know, they don't have like a customer relationship management system. So they're trying to track their leads in email. And so we talk about the need for using more robust technology to better manage that part of your business process. We see it all the time. Email is completely abused. People are trying to use email for project management. They're trying to use it instead of meetings. They're using it instead of using a collaborative, space for, where everybody accesses the same document and updates it real time. They'll use email and send versions back and forth. And so I'd say technology is a big focus. And maybe I should back up, Nancy, because one thing I didn't explain is often what we tell people is we help our clients maximize their three most valuable resources, if you remember from the presentation, the three T's.
Yes.
So it's time, technology, and talent. So time is all about time management. Technology is, again, like teaching people how to better manage email or, again, looking at the workflow that leverages technology. So that's a big piece of it. And then the talent piece is another area that's not really organization, but that's about making sure people are in the right seats. You know, again, they're passionate about their jobs. If we're seeing that there's people are procrastinating, pretty good chance they're not in the right job for them. Again, they're, and anybody has excuses these days to procrastinate work. All you have to do is say, I got 10,000 emails this week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And your boss is going to go, oh, yeah, you're right. And so, but you will find that if somebody's super passionate about what they'll do, what they're doing, they won't procrastinate. They'll get it done even if they don't have time. And so on the talent piece, we spend a lot of time really coaching people to be in the right roles or like we have a client right now who's trying to have somebody fill a position where they need to have project management skills as well as sales skills. And those are like the opposite ends of the spectrum for, your capabilities.
Yeah.
And so we work a lot with companies to say, you really need to divide those roles up so you can find the right people to truly fit the entire role.
Do you, so in your training with talent, do you have some tools that you use to feather out where people's strengths are and limitations, or how do you figure that out?
So a lot of times through coaching, we can naturally figure it out. Again, if people are procrastinating certain things, but I am a big advocate of a lot of the different personality testing, the strengths finder testing, all those things to identify what your natural skills are. And I'm a firm believer, and I love it when I go into a company and they've done that because that gives me great foundation about the person and probably where they're going to be, most coachable and most effective.
Oh, excellent. Well, I think that this is a good place to finish out our program for today, our conversation. So we've got the three T's of time, technology, and talent. Those are really three core nuggets that every business owner should be kind of taking a look at as they're building their business and managing their time and projects. Well, thank you so much for being here. Would you like to have another conversation so we can talk more about your book and some of the other aspects of your life?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having
Good.
Me, Nancy.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so glad this worked out. And what you're doing is so important, especially for small business owners. I just think we can't have enough training in that area. And you, it was obvious with your presentation. I mean, that was one of the most packed meetings that I've been at in quite a while. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Yeah, that's true. So thanks for being here. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you next Monday.